We continue our series this morning on the church, and no more appropriate thing than commissioning a Stephen minister on a day when we talk about, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Thus my title of the sermon, I Do Believe in the Church. So as we begin, let's turn to the Word of God. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they all sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. At the end of the Gospel of John, there's a story that we find only in the Gospel of John. It's a story that takes place after Jesus has been raised from the dead, and it's curious how quickly the disciples have returned to their ordinary lives. The disciples are back to fishing out on the Sea of Galilee during the night. And they're dragging their nets through the water with the hopes of coming upon a school of fish. Now, you might be surprised that they have so quickly returned to their boats. But I suppose it isn't really all that shocking. It's a life that they've always known, this life of being fishermen. And with Jesus not really on the scene any longer, what else are you going to do but go back to work? So on this night, they're not having a whole lot of luck. They're catching nothing. The schools of fish, shall we say, are schooling them. And just as the sun is about to rise, just like the way the sun was about to rise when Mary came to the tomb a few days before, they look at the shore, and they see the figure of a man. And again, much like Mary, they're having a hard time recognizing the resurrected Jesus. And so Jesus calls to them from the shore and suggests that they cast their nets off to the other side of the boat. And they do so, and the result is that they pull in a catch like they've never caught before, almost more fish than they can handle. Now it's this catch that they've made that helps them see the mysterious figure on the shore as Jesus. So they make their way to the shore, and Jesus is there, and he's got a fire going. And on the fire, he's cooking some loaves and some fish for breakfast. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to eat breakfast, and I really don't eat a whole lot of breakfast, but if I was, I would rather have bacon and eggs than fish and bread. This doesn't sound like a good breakfast, and Jesus doesn't really sound like a good cook. But for the disciples, when they see loaves and fish, what they see is not breakfast, but what they see is dinner. And the dinner that they see is the dinner that Jesus served to 5,000 people. He served 5,000 with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. They see this because this is the Gospel of John. They see and remember where that dinner came from. They remember, perhaps painfully, that when they saw the crowd of 5,000 people, they assumed that none of them had what was necessary to feed the crowd. "Send them away," they say to Jesus. "We don't have what it takes." But somehow out of the crowd, a young boy comes forward and he gives his own dinner. He'd brought something with him that maybe his mother had packed for him, dinner that had been given to him, his own little meal of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And he says to Andrew, "Here, start with these." Is this what it takes to feed these people? And Andrew brings the child before Jesus, who's willing to part with the entirety of his food, and he says, here's a young man who's ready to give what he has been given. And Jesus says, that's all I need. And to the astonishment of the disciples, Jesus takes the sacrifice the young man gives, and he gives thanks for it. He says to God, thank you for what you've given. Please use it to feed these hungry people. And it's with this gift of gratitude and sacrifice that Jesus feeds the crowds before him. And that is a moment that that little boy will never forget. It's a moment no one ever forgot. It's what those disciples are thinking of and seeing when they walk on shore with their catch of fish and look at Jesus' breakfast of loaves and fish. And if by chance they did miss the point, Jesus says to them, why don't you bring some of the fish that you've caught also? You've got a full net. Put it on the fire also. Give me what you have so that all can be fed. Doesn't take much, does it, for the disciples to connect the dots, that Jesus is the one responsible for the fish. And now he's inviting them to experience the joy of giving their dinner away. Now again, because this is John's gospel, we know that these disciples have already received the Holy Spirit. We went off our schedule a few weeks back when I preached on the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, but back one chapter before, when Jesus has them gathered, he breathes the Holy Spirit upon them, which means that he has given them the power to be the church. It's what the Holy Spirit does. It communes the church, the Holy Catholic Church. And what we mean by that is the universal church. We believe that this triune God is head over all the church in all of its gatherings, in all of its forms, in all of its denominations, in all of its worship styles. The people gather together to worship God, and the Holy Spirit is the one who gathers the church and brings about the communion of the saints. So it's a church that we see in those disciples making their way to the shore. It's the church that Jesus invites to dine. It's the church that Jesus invites to experience the joy of giving what we've been given. It's a church that invites us, that Jesus invites us to offer what we have so that the 5,000, the 10,000, or the 100,000 might be fed. This is what the church looks like. Gathered by the Holy Spirit at the table, where we discover the joy of giving to Jesus what we have so it can be multiplied to feed the crowd. You remember it wasn't long ago when the disciples looked at the crowd and said, there's too much, too many. And when they looked at the loaves and fish and said, too little, too late. It wasn't long before when the disciples were worried about what they didn't have, when they worried about how much they needed to hold on to. But now Jesus has been raised and the breath of the Holy Spirit is upon them. And there was the joy and the smile of that little boy implanted in their brains. And now they can see that the only thing that Jesus invites us to as a church is the joy of giving what we've been given. In order to watch Jesus give thanks and multiply it and feed whatever crowd stands before us, giving that the church might be established. You know, I was writing this sermon before I went on vacation a few weeks ago. And in the office, Christine and Brittany reminded me that we needed to send out quarterly contribution statements, and we apologized that it was an oversight that the first quarter wasn't sent. With all the personnel transitioning and Rick getting sick and going on leave, it slipped through the cracks. But when they asked me this, it got me thinking about where our contributions go to funding. What are we doing as a church? Do we even make sense any longer? Do we even believe in the church any longer? Of course, contributions go to pay the salaries of the staff who work very hard, and even more so right now as we're down a number of people and are in the process of rebuilding staff. It pays the bills around here that keeps the light on and the air conditioning going during the summer and the heat in the winter and the general maintenance of this very old and very expensive building. And while not exciting to talk to you about this stuff, you would surely say something if it wasn't cool in here this morning. But then there are more exciting things that we can talk about, aren't there? Like sending the Westminster Choir this winter to Arizona for choir tour. And on that tour, they build lifelong relationships. And as we've seen, sometimes even later in life, they reconnect with each other and marry and begin families, who even come back into this church to have their children baptized many years later. And the Piercys organize these trips and are able to because they work here. It is part of their ministry, the ministry of the church. Or the many soup kitchens and sandwich nights that we do to feed those who are food insecure. Did you know that this year alone we have fed over 3,000 people in 5 months? We did. And we do this year in and year out. Or the fact that we're getting ready to commission another 40 or so kids to head to Pittsburgh on a mission trip to help the economically disadvantaged rebuild their homes. Or how Vacation Bible School and Choir Camp will follow, where children will learn about God's love. We commissioned Ellen this morning, who will help train future Stephen ministers to walk through life's valleys with people. We've started Neighbor Brigade, where we're reaching into the community and providing basic services to people in need. In all of these places and in many more, God is taking what you give to this church as an offering and multiplying it. And it really does change lives. This is what the church does. It takes what we have and it uses it for kingdom purposes. It uses it to build the church, not the physical structure, but the people. The physical structure is just the location of the outreach of the church into the larger community. It signifies that we are here and we are interested in ministering in this community. It's why membership, we feel, is important. Because your membership in this church tells those around that we care and are interested in ministering right here. And friends, I believe that the church is still important. I believe in the church. What we do and how we minister is so very important. Bring some of the fish you caught, Jesus says. It's not because Jesus needs it. Jesus doesn't ask us because he needs it. It's because we need it. It's where the joy is. It's not what he wants from us, it's what he wants for us. This is what church is. The joyful communion of believers who get to witness what Jesus will do when we give in faith, when we work in faith. What could be better than that? You know, it's fun to imagine transplanting biblical stories into our world today. Could you imagine if that little boy in our story had an iPhone that day? Imagine the Snapchat story that would have been recorded. This plate of food being passed around to more than 5,000 people, people tearing off pieces of bread, cutting off chunks of fish, and the plate is passed to the next person, and almost magically it's full of food again, and the plate never empties. Watching all those hungry people being fed from the gift of what he had to give. You know, it's what the church looks like. We come together and we give of what we have so that those who don't have will be given. It may not always be money. It might be giving time to teach Sunday school or confirmation, something that we have a desperate need for right now. Or maybe coming to a sandwich night or becoming a Stephen minister. It might be standing up for an issue of justice. It might be protecting the vulnerable, even like next Saturday and going for a march for families. Or any other place that we might give. And we trust that God will take what we give and that will bring us joy and bring life to others. So maybe the second half of this year at the First Presbyterian Church at Caldwell, maybe we need to call the second half of the year of the loaves and fish, where we feed 5,000. We are already more than halfway there. Or where we care more for others than we do for ourselves. Maybe we need to look into our own nets and realizing that what we have in them is what Jesus has given to us. Might we hear him say, "Bring the fish you caught." And we'll say, "It wasn't us, it was you." And then see what happens. See what Jesus does with us. I believe in the church. Amen.